Welcome to the After Business School Special, a show about what business professionals, industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and more have learned since finishing their business degree. Each episode, we bring in a guest to discuss stories, key learnings, and insights they've gained throughout their professional career. This is a podcast for the business-savvy professional who believes there's always more to learn and room to grow. Learning continues well beyond the classroom, so join us in becoming a lifelong learner by enrolling in the After Business School Special.
Hello and welcome to the After Business School Special. I'm Carly Snow, and today I'm joined by Christy Miller. Christy is an Edwards School of Business alumna who has worked in the public and nonprofit sectors since graduating from the College of Commerce in 2002. As a marketing and fundraising professional, she enjoys connecting people to the mission of the organization, and her work has been recognized through national and international awards for creativity, return on investment, and long-term impact on fundraising revenue. In 2022, Christy launched her consultancy focused on uplifting the nonprofit sector. A link to connect with Christy will be listed in the show notes. Christy, welcome, and thank you for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me, Carly.
This is very exciting. So to start, I just want to talk about philanthropic consulting and or consulting focused on fundraising, donor relations, and nonprofit. I don't know too much about it, so if you want to just tell us a little bit about your role and what a typical project you may work on would look like.
Well, sure. So I'm a consultant, which means that I work with clients either on a project-by-project basis or over a longer-term contract to undertake specific work for them. So as you mentioned, my expertise is in the nonprofit sector. So my clients could be a local charity, a larger provincial entity like a university or a hospital, or nonprofit organizations that have operations across the country. So the unifying factor across my clients is that they all rely on private funding from donors to some extent. I like a lot of variety in my work, so there's not really a typical project because I try and meet clients where they are. But a few of the things I might work on would be helping create a sustainable revenue plan through fundraising activities or working with CEOs of nonprofits as well as their boards to help identify and articulate their funding needs and then talking about that in a donor-centered way. I also really love designing and implementing communications and marketing strategies, which I know you do as well.
I love it too.
And then I also have a research interest in women and philanthropy specifically. And so I speak at conferences and talk to my clients about how they can adopt more female-friendly fundraising practices.
Awesome. Yeah, I think a lot when you think about consulting, you think about people flying around, doing all that kind of stuff, all those movies, glamorizing consulting and that type of work. Do you do any of that, or has the pandemic kind of changed that?
Oh, well, I only started full-time consulting last year, so there hasn't been a ton of jet setting, but the great thing about doing consulting work and the pandemic is that with everybody being adapted to working online, I can be based in Saskatoon and have clients across the country. And in fact, I do have clients from coast to coast to coast. So it's been really great to be able to expand my network and help as many organizations as I can.
Awesome. I think a lot of the time, and I know I was the same way, even though when I was a student, I was working kind of in the nonprofit sector, not exactly, but I don't think a lot of business students really consider the nonprofit sector as an option when they're deciding what they want to do. So what drew you to working with nonprofit?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's definitely no straight pathway to working in the nonprofit sector. I would say overall, the nonprofit sector has something of an image problem, but really it's a name problem because I imagine, as I did and most of my friends, most people who are in business school don't envision a, quote, nonprofit career or a nonprofit paycheck for that matter. But the sector is actually a huge economic driver in Canada, and it contributes a little over 8% to Canada's GDP and employs 2.4 million people. So that's a lot of jobs that are out there for people in the sector. And I guess what I would say is, for a business grad, there's some really unique aspects to starting a career or continuing your career in the nonprofit sector. For me, I found it was a great way to learn a lot. There's a lot of need for leaders across all sectors, but in the nonprofit sector in particular, the skills that you learn in business school are really valuable to a nonprofit. because it has all the same functions as a business. It just has a different mission or mandate. So you are a very big cog in a small wheel, not kind of a faceless name in a big corporation. And I have found in all of the different jobs I've worked in that smaller organizations, nonprofit organizations, really value that creativity. They want to try new things. They like new approaches, and new grads and people who are early in their career definitely bring that. And I guess, you know, probably the most appealing factor is the meaningful work. I think a lot of people did soul searching during the pandemic and thought about what kind of, you know, person they want to be and what kind of job they want to have. And the nonprofit sector definitely offers a pretty clear connection between the work that you do and changing our community, changing people's lives, changing our world. So it's definitely something that anybody, but particularly business grads, can have an amazing career in.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know I was recently talking to a couple of friends who work in different areas of business and all have BCom degrees, and we were discussing the overall impact that our work has and how it contributes in a bigger way beyond just profits, and looking to try to determine what impact we want to have throughout the work that we do in our professional career. So it's definitely something people are considering, and that makes the work in nonprofit sector so rewarding. So you see the impact like immediately, the through lines right there to the impact. So there's definitely a return on your investment as you're working directly with these communities to help. So definitely an industry to consider if you want a career that has an impact in that way. What do you think is the most common myth within the industry? And what do you want people to know about the business of philanthropy?
Yeah. There's certainly a lot of unique challenges that are faced by the nonprofit sector. It is notoriously and tragically underfunded, considering the work that is done by nonprofits of all sizes across our country. So I would say probably one of the most common myths is that charities are inefficient. And a few years ago, when I was doing my own master's degree work at the University of Carleton in philanthropy, I came across the Porter's model of growth, which in a traditional business program is matrices, X and Y axis. It's growth times market share. But for the nonprofit sector, it's a little different. Your axes would be support by mission, so the impact that you have. And really, what I took away from that is that you're not trying to do the same things as a for-profit business has. And so we have to allow some degree of inefficiency in how a nonprofit runs, because the stakes are that much higher. So, you know, a community food bank needs to make sure it has enough food to feed people. It can't run on a just-in-time or a really lean model, because we're talking about people's lives and feeding people's bellies. So there is that kind of inefficiency, but it's necessarily so. And I think that's something that lots of people don't necessarily understand about the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting about like the matrix with mission on it. Mm-hmm. I feel like lots of for-profit businesses could also learn from that, just be more mission-driven. So something to take away from the nonprofit for all businesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not that different. They really operate the same. They just, got to just take the name out and then.
Yeah, you're right. It's a name problem.
It's a marketing problem.
There definitely is a lot of discussion about what the nonprofit sector should be called or could be called. Some people would call it the social profit sector. Mm-hmm. There's lots of debate about that as well. It's a really interesting area of work. And certainly at the national and international levels, there's tons of research and very interesting research that you can read about the nonprofit sector itself and how to make it more efficient and, you know, how the value that it adds to our society. So I'll definitely share some of those links too.
Absolutely. That'd be great. Yeah. Lots of big ideas for branding of the nonprofit sector for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think another thing you mentioned, just not being able to operate like on a just in time or any type of model like that. I think with the lack of funding, definitely causes nonprofits to be like maybe a little bit more creative with their problem solving. Mm-hmm. And it's less about like, oh, we have this budget, we must spend it in some way, but it's like taking what you have and making the most of it and making the most impact. So
yeah, absolutely.
And with philanthropy, the topic of impact is obviously extremely important. The impact of, you know, the time, talent, and treasure, the three T's of donation and fundraising and those things. So looking at it from a lens in your career journey, who is the most influential person in your life and how do they impact you?
Yeah, great question. Well, I mean, I would say first and foremost, my parents were and are extremely philanthropic, both in terms of the volunteer time that they commit to the organizations they care about, and as well as financial support for those organizations. So I definitely saw that as a model growing up. But interestingly, my connections to a career in philanthropy and fundraising likely started at Edwards School of Business. It was still the College of Commerce when I graduated, though. So in my last year at Edwards, I applied for and received the Janice McClellan Memorial Scholarship. And though I didn't realize it at the time, it was a donor to the university that had established that scholarship in honor of his daughter, I believe. So I sent a thank you note. He sent one back. And that year I had a little extra money, which really helped as I was getting ready to move out of home and launch my career. But it was only years later that it really sunk into me about how meaningful this act of philanthropy had been, that this family created this award and helped countless students get their start. It was a really beautiful gesture, and I'm still thankful for it all these years later. So it was really Edwards that had an impact on me that way. And then the other Edwards connection to philanthropy that I have is, again, in my fourth year, I had received an internship or had awarded an internship in New York City. And Professor Barb Phillips, unbeknownst to me, went on my behalf and applied for funding from the President's Student Experience Fund to cover my flights to New York. And I had later learned that that fund is also supported by alumni through the annual Campaign for Students Appeal. So again, I was given a real advantage by people in Edwards who saw potential in me, and I'm really thankful for that. You know, I think in terms of impact, just going back to your comment, donors really do want the opportunity to make great things happen. And recipients of support like me are so appreciative. And so I think, you know, the work that I'm trying to do in uplifting the sector is really bringing those two pieces together so that people feel appreciated for the support that they provide and that the recipient has the opportunity to thank the person or the family that helped them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're donating, like, you know it's going to have an impact or something like that, but without, it's like a faceless impact. Yeah. So just like getting to know who is on the other side of that definitely has a huge impact.
Yeah, for sure.
So what has been the most impactful lesson that you've learned in your career so far? Or was there a big turning point in your career?
Becoming a parent was a really big change. It's a big change for anyone who works out of the home. So first, it was a big change to step away from my career to take maternity leave. And then going back to work and learning how to juggle a demanding job with kids was also a very challenging. I found that because I manage people, oftentimes my workday wouldn't start until everyone else had left the office. So that was not ideal when I was trying to pick up kids from daycare or get them to swimming lessons or cook dinner for my family. So a really big turning point was when we moved to working from home during the pandemic. And once my kids went back to school, I was able to take a break every day at 3 o'clock until 3:30 to go pick them up from school. And this was a real game changer for me because being there with them and for them when they were still excited about the school day, when it was still light out, being able to meet their friends, other teachers and parents, it was really great. And so for me, that was, again, a real turning point in that I realized my kids are only going to be young for a very short time. And the lifestyle that I had led pre-pandemic was not going to allow that flexibility to be able to be there for them. And so it was a really big decision to leave my secure long-term job for the flexibility of working as a consultant. But it's been a great decision for my work and for my family so far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When you're working with vulnerable people or nonprofits, do you ever find it to be overwhelming? And if so, how do you find the balance?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges to working in the nonprofit sector or with the nonprofit sector is that there are literally people's lives on the line depending on the organization for support. So you come to care very deeply about the work you're doing with them. And it's also why there's such high burnout in the helping professions. The nonprofit sector is predominantly staffed by women, and it's very hard. It's hard on people physically and mentally.
How do you find that balance?
Yeah, so for me, I've practiced yoga for over 20 years, and I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but I really do believe that that has allowed me a really strong foundation for work-life balance. I was thinking about this, and when the pandemic was declared and everybody was freaking out, my yoga teachers were saying things like, "You guys, this is what we've been training for." All that learning about how to breathe through tough sequences and poses, it wasn't for nothing. This is what we're doing that for. You can get through this. And so maintaining that really strong practice has been super important for my life. Working from home also has a huge impact on my work-life balance. Unless I'm traveling to meet clients or out of the house, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to work from home, because I'm an extremely extroverted person, but working from home allows you to have better boundaries. So I still go for coffee a lot, like I did when I worked in a traditional office setting, but my days don't tend to get derailed as much by colleagues that are dropping by for a visit, or my direct reports who need to ask me a question. So consultants, I think, just generally have better time management because they need to be able to deliver what they promise to their clients. And so that really helps me with work-life balance as well.
Yeah, that's awesome, having those something to, you know, take your mind off of everything. And then yoga is such a great one for that. So yeah, that's great. I definitely agree with the working from home, maybe being a little bit more efficient to get things done. Mm-hmm. I also, being very extroverted, like to chat in the office quite a bit. So I like to prefer to work from home so I actually get things done. But it's a nice to have the balance.
For sure. For sure.
So yeah, the work that you do is has to be quite rewarding to see the impact of the organizations that you get to serve. What has been the proudest moment of your career so far?
Oh, gosh. There's been many. You know, I think anyone who says, "Oh, I could never be a fundraiser," or "I'm scared to ask people for money," is really missing out on a great gift in life, because what I've been fortunate enough to experience is not just the asking for donations, but having donors thank me or thank the organization I'm working for giving them the opportunity to have an impact. And it's really quite touching to be a part of something that important to somebody. So I guess I would say, you know, something I'm particularly proud of is I was part of a community-wide effort here in Saskatoon to nominate some local philanthropists for a really competitive international award for Philanthropists of the Year. So this was a number of years ago, but we worked together with hospitals and a number of different organizations that these donors had supported, and they were only the second Canadians to ever receive it. We traveled to an international conference where they were recognized by, I think, close to 10,000 people in attendance. They were really touched by the honor, and it was really exciting to be a part of recognizing donors in Saskatoon on the world stage, and that was really meaningful to me as well.
It just feels different when you're celebrating somebody for what they have given and their donations. What are you most excited to accomplish next?
Oh, wow, what a great question. Well, you know, I'm really excited about all the clients that I'm working with currently. Like I said, it's not hard working in the nonprofit sector to get excited about the work you're doing when you're really seeing the impact there and making meaningful changes in your world. I guess what I'm most excited about is continuing that work and then seeing the impact and the outcomes that come from connecting these nonprofits with some sustainable fundraising practices, with great communications and marketing, with all the stuff that I think we're working on that will make a real difference to them, and then raising their capacity to be able to do that on their own. I think, you know, one area where consultants sometimes fall short is that they present clients with plans that are really hard for them to implement. And my approach is really to meet a client where they are in terms of what they have today so that they can see that pathway from point A to point B, but also discover the joy of working with donors and discover the joy of really strong communications and that relationship building aspect of things, which people are sometimes fearful about. So, you know, I take it one day at a time and one client at a time, but I'm looking forward to continuing to work with great nonprofits across our community and across the country.
Awesome. Yeah, really giving them the tools to put those plans together.
Absolutely.
So you have a wealth of knowledge in both the nonprofit and for-profit sector. Do you have any resources that you recommend?
Yeah, definitely I would recommend some books by Chip and Dan Heath. I love what they write, and I think it's really accessible, actionable strategies for working in business or the nonprofit sector or just for life. The Power of Moments is a really excellent book that helped me envision or helps me envision how really simple actions can be quite meaningful. And I talk a lot to my clients about that when they're working with donors. Things don't need to be over the top or too complicated or even that costly. It just needs to be really meaningful to make an impact. My sister recommended The Knowledge Project to me a few years ago. Shane Parrish is its author, and he's a Canadian fellow out of Ottawa. He has some really excellent podcasts where he interviews leaders across all different sectors, and it really helps me think about my leadership and my business in a different way. He also has a great weekly email that has great food for thought, so I would definitely check out The Knowledge Project. An old school reference, I really love the book First Things First by Stephen Covey. I think there's lots of interesting exercises and sort of thought-provoking prompts that got me thinking about what I wanted to do with my life in a different way and probably led to some of the career changes that I've made more recently. And then, yeah, just if anybody is interested in knowing more about how or why the nonprofit sector is sort of at a bit of a disadvantage, you could check out Dan Pallotta's TED Talk, and I can send you the link to that, too, if you wanted to include it.
Yeah, I'll definitely include that. I'll include links to all of those things. They sound great. Mm-hmm. That wraps it up for all my questions. I wanted to kind of turn the table to you. Is there anything that you think I should have asked you?
I don't know if you should have asked me anything. I feel like, I feel like this has been really exciting for me to think about some of the things you wanted to talk about. But I would just say that if anybody's interested in learning more about what I do, or if you work at a nonprofit or a public sector organization and you have questions about fundraising, I'd love to hear from you. So please reach out and I'll make sure Carly knows where you can find me.
Yes, I'll definitely include that in the show notes as well. And yeah, I hope this inspires somebody to think about or consider a career in the nonprofit sector or in fundraising. It is incredibly rewarding. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of our show. If you have a topic you want to hear discussed or someone you want to hear from, let us know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate your feedback and support. See you next time on the After Business School Special. Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.